that one song says that he never failed me yet. Remember that?
Never will.
And so it's like, I can't turn around because I've come this far by faith. Amen. So I'm not looking to turn around now. Amen. I got to be like what Brother Frank said, stay on the line. Amen. Because I can't give up right now. I got to keep on pressing to see what the end will be. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for letting us be here today. I was anxious. I was like kind of like the psalmist this morning. Say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Makes you glad, especially if you have a time out. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We do have a word from the Lord. This is a very rich topic, as a matter of fact. So we hope that you have been tuning yourself up in prayer and things of that sort and making preparation for this topic. It's a deep topic, and I think it's going to be a blessing to the whole church. And it's something you're going to have to, so it's going to make us put on our spiritual boots, if you will. All right. We'll have to strap up, boot up, and suit up, and get ready for what we got to deal with here. Amen. See, in order to do this the way God has laid it out for us. And I think we're seeing some things in the trends and in the culture where people kind of somewhat slipping away from some of the things we're talking about here. And I think that's the reason why I've been prompted by God the Spirit to address some of this. Because Jesus said it this way, and I'll give you a little exposition. The disciples asked him, how can we know when these signs of the end are coming? Remember that over in Matthew chapter 24? And he was telling them, he said, they were talking about how wonderful the temple buildings were and all that stuff. And they thought, oh, this is really wonderful, Jesus. They already knew he was the Messiah. They had 100% proof. Who could have done the stuff Jesus did and not be God? Who?
Nobody.
Just who?
Nobody.
Who have you ever seen go to a funeral and break it up? That's it. It's over. Get up. Go home. What? Nobody but God could do that. So these disciples were convinced, and they were showing Jesus, I'm just going to share this. This is a little something different than what's on our paper here. But we'll start here and then we'll go on into our lesson that God has given me. He said here, as he sat up on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples came unto him privately. See, there's always a lot of people around Jesus. Saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You see that? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Who is that? Believers who believe in Christ?
Yep.
And shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's why people ain't preaching that.
Yep. That's true.
Because Jesus said, you're going to be hated for my name's sake.
Amen.
You know what people don't want to hear about? Well, that's not user-friendly there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's what the Lord said. You know that? And then he says, and then many shall be offended, and some, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another.
Yep.
See that? Betrayal and hatred among people who say that they are his people. Why? Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Mm-hmm. See that? So when you hear these false prophets, they want you to get this holy water imported from Israel, and it's going to do this, that, and the other for you, and all of this, that, and the other, and all that, and we want to send you $29.95. Jesus said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Yep.
And notice this one, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So that's the way of saying it grows, just like when you light a candle, the wax builds up. So the love of many will grow again higher and higher, cold. See, not hot, but cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Notice verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So where we're at now is we're in a time of some of these things that he said are called the beginning of sorrows. And it was for this reason that it was put in my spirit to talk to this church and to the church in general, because we do publish our messages so that they can be heard anywhere on earth. We have just made, you may notice, changes to the website. We've got some new development going on there to help extend the message even further. And we're doing some things in that regard. But I want to go ahead on now and move us to the lesson here for today, because in order for us to carry out our theme, which is learning to love like Jesus, and I already told you, I've been saying the last couple of weeks, that'll be a difficult thing for me and you to do. And the reason why, I think about how Jesus loved. We're just going to muse on that just a minute. People had marched him around, spit on him, stripped off his clothes, beat him and flogged him in the public. You know, talked about him like a dog. Scuttlebutt in the crowd was, well, you were a bastard anyway because your mother was with child when she was betrothed and all of this kind of stuff. They had evil stuff to say about Jesus. And now today, we don't want to talk about any of that. But people had evil stuff that was going all around. How can you be the Messiah and you do this stuff you do? You hang out with sinners.
Yep.
Unclean sinners. And we're over here, all the righteous folk is up here, you know, up here, waltzing around in our robes and all our holiness. But you're down there with the sinners, going to see people like Matthew, you know, tax collector, and Zacchaeus, and all those folk. See, you know what? Jesus said, you know what? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he who is well doesn't need a physician, but him who is sick. So I'm going to the sick to try to get them healed.
Thank you, Lord.
See, that's the reason he did it. He came, he'll come find a wreck somewhere that needs to be fixed up. That's what happened one day to me. I was minding my business and my wretchedness, and he came into my life and said, here, here's a wretch here, needs to be fixed. See? And he fixed me up, and he's still working on me. But that was the way he rolled. These Pharisees thought, oh, we can't hang out with that kind of people. Folk from over there. You know, we don't hang with them. But I want to give you this today, fuel for the discipleship of love. When Jesus called you to disciple, to be a disciple is a learner. It doesn't have like any highfalutin meaning to it. A disciple is the word in the Greek, mathetes, and it simply means a learner. You will find in the Bible a lot of people had disciples.
Yep.
There were disciples of John the Baptist. Remember that? There were the Herodians, people who hung around with Herod and his crew. And they were disciples of politics and Herod and all of that. There were all kinds of disciples. So to be a disciple simply meant you were an understudy of someone else. You see? And so the disciples of Jesus Christ we have looked at now last week, and we saw, well, not last week, the week before actually. But he said that the whole world will know that you are my disciples if ye have love one to another.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that identifies an internal thing within the church.
Yeah.
People in the church should care about each other.
Amen.
Right. Legitimately.
Yeah.
Not put on a Sunday face and, you know, act like I care about you.
Right.
But I care about you.
Yeah.
What you're dealing with, I can feel it.
Yeah.
And I want to support and be there for you for whatever you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And it's not an easy thing to do, because you have to be focused in on the fact that Jesus is love. The Bible says God is love.
Yeah.
So how do we fuel this discipleship of love? What is it that will give power to running like Jesus said we should run? And I wanted to say, as we endeavor to get into our theme for this year, learning to love like Jesus, there are many things that we must consider as we examine these things that make up what being a disciple of Jesus Christ really means. So let us examine the Word of God in order to more exactly understand and execute the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, and which shall reveal each
to each of us what areas we need to pray about. Now, that's critical. There's going to be some things we have to pray about in order to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into this deeper and more profound love for one another. We're going to have to pray about it. It's not going to be an overnight thing. This is not a one-message-fix-all here. It's going to take some prayer on your part. You got to analyze yourself. Examine yourself like Paul said. And find out what's up with me, you know. What do I need to change in me? See, and that's what the song said right there, Brother Michael. He says, me is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me. See, we got to analyze ourselves, and we're going to get somewhere. Now, the good news is Jesus has already guaranteed your success. You don't have to worry about failure. Because he has called you, you don't have to worry about failure.
Right.
You shall succeed.
Right.
Now, somebody might look at it and say, well, it don't look like success there, Brother Goosby, the way you're doing what you're doing, but God told you you're going to succeed.
Right.
He said you can do all things through Christ.
All things.
Who strengthens you? Right. Now, the strengthening comes when we get real with ourselves. So we're going to have to pray our way through this. I just want to put that in as a kind of a footnote there at the beginning. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into this deeper and more profound love for one another, which Jesus said will be our most effective form of evangelism. It's the most effective tool of evangelism that we have. We worry about getting out and doing stuff and reaching people outside, and people who see us when we're together get something that we don't even understand just by the way we behave, the way we treat one another, the care that we have one for another. See, and it's something you got to pray about. See, it's not going to be an overnight fix. I wish I had a magic wand. I could just zap everybody and we'd all be good. But it doesn't work that way.
No way.
So we're going to get to this, which Jesus said will be our most effective tool of evangelism in John 13 and 35. By this shall all men know. See that? That ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So they can read that, even though they can't, they don't know necessarily about your theology or your the way you teach the Bible, any of that. They may never have seen it. But it's something attractive about the way we mingle with one another, the way we are concerned about one another, the way we think about one another, and it shows in a way that's profound. And so for our lesson today, I'm going to have you read with me, if you don't mind, from the book of the Psalms, number 19. We want to talk about what is the fuel for the discipleship of love. What is it that fuels what we do? Now, you know, if you had a car and it had no fuel, what would it do?
Stop.
Wouldn't do anything, right? It wouldn't do a thing, because it's got to have fuel in order to go. So in order for us to put this show on the road, we need some fuel to make it work. So Psalms number 19, let's read here. This is from the Old Covenant, verses 7 down to verse 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. That's Psalms number 19, speaking about God's word. Amen. That's one of the, I say that too, Brother John. We both in that same deal there. So that's my favorite psalm, man. But I said that when I read Psalm 1 and Psalm 150. Okay, for the New Testament scripture reading, we're going to take a look now at a few verses just to hang our thoughts on from the book of Ephesians. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Let's read. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. Now these texts, in my mind, and we could probably take any of it because the whole fuel of salvation is Genesis to Revelation. And that rhymes, and I'm a poet and don't know it, but my feet show it. Because they're Longfellow's bad jokes. But in either case, all the Word of God is most certainly fuel for discipleship. And the reason I highlight this, y'all say, well, duh, that's what some of y'all are looking like. Well, we know that, Pastor. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? A lot of the visible church is leaving out a lot of what God said. You might turn on the TV and listen to a message for about an hour and never hear very much of the scripture at all. And some of it will be kind of cherry-picked here and there, and they won't be telling you everything because people think some of what the scripture says is negative. Right? Well, that's negative. We can't talk about that. Can't talk about no sin and going to hell and all that. Well, you know what? You have to talk about the whole thing. Who do we think we are to redact God? I'm going to go tell God what you put in your word. I'm going to edit you. And we're going to do this part here and this here. We're going to. I don't have the boldness and the audacity to do anything like that.
All right.
So we need the whole thing. And when they asked Jesus what's going to be the sign of your coming, he told them everything.
Mm-hmm.
He said there's going to be nations rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. That's war. That don't sound like peace, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. He told the whole story.
Yeah.
And he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Folks are going to be hating each other. That was the whole truth. So they're probably thinking, man, is that the kingdom coming in like that? And the fact is, you need to be prepared. So when you see stuff going on that doesn't look characteristic of God's kingdom, that you are prepared. That's why he said, I told you these things before, so that when they come to pass, you know, I already told you.
Yeah.
See, so if we don't prepare the church for the times that are coming, the church won't be ready, and because of that, many will fall away. But what I want you to see here is this love piece. It's very difficult because when we think about love, in English we have one word, we translate love.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw it around like a beach ball or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I love my dog.
Amen.
I love ice cream.
Amen.
Oh, I love, and we use love like it's a beach ball, just any old thing, yo. I love my wife, we'll say. Mm-hmm. But if when you say you love your dog and you love your wife, that's not the same, is it? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, if I say I love my son or my daughter, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, than it is if I say I love my wife. That's different.
Yeah.
See, and we even say we make love, and we talk about love, we throw the word around, and it's used in every kind of way.
That's right.
And this word agape is a very special word because this unconditional love.
Wow.
In other words, it's the highest form of love that there is.
Yeah.
You know, it's love that can overlook transgression.
Mm-hmm.
It's love that can overlook a fault.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't, then God wouldn't be able to accept us.
Amen.
It's the kind of love that's in John 3:16 where God so loved the world.
Amen.
Now, even though the world's a mess and sin is running rampant and people are doing things against my will and against each other, I love them anyway. Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
Comes from out of agape love. While you have me nailed up here and I haven't done anything wrong. Complete injustice, the most total injustice there's ever been, is to have God come into the world and you find him guilty and crucify him on a tree. After you mocked him and ridiculed him in the public and stripped off his clothes, you did everything to shame and humiliate him, see, and to attempt to kill him for no reason because he was not worthy of death. And what did you do? Marched him right down to a public execution, nailed him to a tree, spit on him, you did everything, degraded.
Yep.
That's why I like to remind people the worst government there ever has been has already been.
Amen.
So when you look at the White House, don't think you're seeing something worse than you ever saw. It already has happened. That government found the Most High God guilty.
Amen.
They crucified him. Hung him up on a tree and thought they were doing what they wanted to do. And little did they know God had already written down, this is what you will do when I show up. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So his wisdom is so profound, you and I have to learn something from the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So as we begin this series, these are the kind of things I wanted to talk about, and I'll try not to be too long today. On the surface, it might look like it's a simple thing. When we deeply consider what this really means, we sincerely believe that it will require maximal effort in every way to really be able to accomplish what this really means personally.
Mm-hmm.
To set a goal for our lives. What will it mean for us to learn to love like Jesus? What are the qualities of Jesus' love? These are just a few questions I toss out here. Are these qualities something that we are able to personally assimilate? Just what will such an endeavor cost us to pursue it with all our hearts? What will be the cost of it? How will doing this affect the church and the world in which we live? Looking forward in this 2019 years, or anything that we can do to improve on our status with God or through study of learning how to love like his only begotten son? Is there something that we can do? I believe there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to really improve our relationship because that's a given. God says, I love you just like you are. I gave my son for you. If you believe in him, I accept you and adopt you into my family. There's no excuse for you not to be saved.
Right.
See, that's it, because God says, this is how I do. I put my love out on Front Street. My son was crucified in the public.
Yeah.
I centered the world and the calendar around him, so you know this is how much I love you. I'm making an open, profound statement. I love every one of you, no matter what you are doing, no matter what you have done, and I have let my son spill his blood, and that alone has satisfied me, and that's the proclamation I send to you so that you know I accept you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
If it was a card game, I would flip all my cards over like that and say, here's my hand, showing you my hand. See what I'm saying? Now, that's a lewd illustration. But God says, I got my hand wide open. And he even says in a couple of verses, I stretch forth my hand before gainsaying people. So I put my hands up. You know what's in my hand. I don't have nothing coming from under the table. I'm up front and forward. Configure your whole world, your whole life, not just in America, but the whole planet around my son. And I gave you one book.
That's it.
And it's got my entire thought process concerning you is in here. And I can tell you everything. You can find out everything from the beginning until the new heaven and the new earth.
Amen.
From Genesis to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So God has been forward and open with you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get into that mode? That's what the thing is. Where we see, okay, yeah, people are wrong. Stuff they're doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. But how do I love them anyway?
Mm-hmm.
How do I show them the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
See, what would I invest to show them that I care for them?
Okay.
Right.
Doesn't have to be a financial thing.
That's right.
You know, but it might include that. But how do I get these people to understand? A lot of it has to do with our own internal behavior here in the church and the way we behave.
Yes.
The devil, the Bible says, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I want you to know God has not left us without the fuel that we need for discipleship.
All right.
Psalms 19, very clear. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's why God gave us law in his book first. It's not that he thought we could keep his law, but it is a perfect standard. When I look at his law, I can use it like a measuring stick. I can say, okay, he says, you shall not lie. Now look at myself. That's a measuring stick.
Yeah.
Plumb line. Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Good word. Plumb line. It's showing me what's straight.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's perfectly straight.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing to me. You can even take a plumb bob. If some of y'all don't know what a plumb bob is, you might. It's just a little metal thing, kind of like a top. And you hang it on a string. And because of the perfection of the way God designed the planet, it will always hang perfectly straight anywhere on the earth. That's amazing. And they use the plumb bob. If I want to build a wall, hang a plumb bob up here and build it right down that line. Or let that brick straight across the line. See what I'm saying? So and God has put all that perfection in the world. See? Fish know that this is the right way up. I don't swim that way. How does that happen? Why would a fish that doesn't have legs, why would he stay this way? Why don't he just go like that? Walk him or something, not swimming upside down. Because God has established what's upright and what's correct. See, you don't see fish swimming sideways, not when they're feeling right. You see what I mean? They don't have to. They can turn any which way they want. But they know this is upright. See, so we got to get like that, where we understand that the law of the Lord is perfect. In other words, God has given us a perfect word. Then he calls it here not just law, the next thing is the testimony of the Lord is sure.
Amen.
See, people will cast doubt on God's word. That's where the whole sin issue started.
Yeah.
The devil came to the woman and said, God didn't really mean that he said, did he? He didn't really mean for you not to mess with this tree, did he? That ain't really what he meant, is it? And we fall for the oldest lie in the book all the time. Yes, God means what he said. Every word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember that? We looked at that in Sunday school. But by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be able to do these things perfectly all the time, but it is the standard. We should strive for the standard to do the perfect thing. And when we don't, you know what we should do? What does the Bible say you do if you don't come up to the standard? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing is what he's doing in your heart. The Holy Spirit is doing it so that you don't lie as much as you used to. And eventually, you straighten up your life and you start living where you don't have to lie. There's a cleansing process. See? And you, what are you directed to? The plumb line of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. So I'm going to keep his word up there. I'm not going to reduce the word because I got issues. The word is right. See? The law of the Lord is perfect. And it rejoices my heart even though I know I fall short. But it gives me that perfect line that I can build to. And know that I'm moving in the right direction. See, I can stay like the fish right on target. You see what I'm saying? So he says here the testimony. In other words, God has given you a testimony. He has testified that this is true. It's the spoken word of God, and it is sure. And it makes wise the simple. It's giving me wisdom I would never have. It's helping me understand things. I don't have to be a rocket scientist or a PhD. It's okay if you are. Go ahead and be one. I hope you do. You know, but I can be a simple person and just understand what's right and what's wrong. God's going to propel me into life, into everything he wants me to be. And I can be anything I want to be. Because God has given us the world. So he says here that this is making wise the simple. He'll give you wisdom. Wisdom is better than knowledge. Did you know that?
Yeah.
A whole lot of folk got some knowledge today.
Amen.
There's folk up in Washington with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have very much wisdom. They got some knowledge. I might even have a big stack of money.
Have mercy, Lord.
But I don't have any wisdom.
Have mercy.
And wisdom is better than silver and gold.
Yes.
That's what Solomon said, right?
Yes.
God said, whatever you want, just ask, I'll give you a blank check.
Yes.
And he said, give me wisdom.
Yes.
See, just so I can understand how to guide and direct your people.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? Wisdom is better than money. We trip up on money. The money thing is a hard one today.
Yes.
You know, money really got a lot of folks messed up. But you all understand, wisdom is better.
Yes.
And so then he goes on to say here, the commandment of the Lord is pure.
Mm-hmm.
See that? So that's the perfect standard. This is God's ruler, if you will, to measure,
mm-hmm.
so we can measure the stuff in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it enlightens the eyes. It helps me to see what's right and what's pure and what's clean, what's righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
Yes.
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So in other words, I got the perfect word of God to guide me into what he wants me to be and how to love like Jesus.
Yes.
Now let me explain that. Right at this point, Jesus was the only one came into the world, born out of a womb, just like me and you, who didn't break God's law. Didn't break the law. Not a sin, not from the womb to the tomb. So that's perfect wisdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See? Never sin.
Never.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what? I tell you, I can't imagine somebody nailing you to anything or hitting you with anything and you not going somewhere in your mind that's not pure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have trouble myself. I hit my own hand sometimes when I'm hammering. I have to be careful what comes out of my mouth. And I'm doing better. I actually am. It used to be it was something you did, I mean, back in the day. And you did it and you talked for about 20 minutes afterwards with a bunch of other, a whole load of stuff. But I've gotten to where I've restricted it quite a bit because I keep looking at the perfect standard and say that's not really good. So I've done it a few times and not have to go over the line. But I can't imagine you being God and you know these people are wrong. It's two left shoes. And you up here slapping me and spitting on me and gouging me and beating me and flogging me and sticking crowns of thorn in my head and mocking me, spitting on me, talking about me like a dog.
Mercy, Lord.
See? Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
I put that in my mind every time somebody's doing me wrong.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So are they really doing you wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what he went through?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can take a little bit more. See, so we got to extend ourselves in what people do, because people do what they do because they don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
But you know better.
No.
Right. Amen.
See what I'm saying? So I can't, in other words, we're going to build in this thing. I might, and this is the point I said earlier, and I want to get back to it. You will have to pray about it.
You will.
I can't just do this.
You will.
See, but if I'm never directed or instructed to do it, there's no way you will even pray about it. You won't even be trained to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you just put up with any kind of thing anybody does to you.
Right.
I'm just saying how you get your fuse longer before you blow and go into an ungodly way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the things that fuel the discipleship of love. He says here, notice this about God's word. He says that it is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, by them, in other words, the judgments, the statutes of the Lord, those things is thy servant warned.
Mm-hmm.
And in keeping them, there is great reward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asks the question. This is where we come in pretty well here and can relate to King David. Here he says, who can understand his errors? Why do I do what I do? Why do I keep messing up here and there? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That's a request. That's a supplication to God. Who is he talking to? God, cleanse me from secret faults. Sin that I'm doing that I think is not really secret. I know it's in your face. But I need you to cleanse me.
Amen.
See, whatever you do, you might as well go right up to the throne of heaven and do it.
Amen.
Yes.
Whatever thing you're doing, whatever thing you think is a secret fault, because there are no secrets with God.
Mm-hmm.
But he understands here, and he says, cleanse me, because I know you're the only one who can cleanse me.
Mm-hmm.
Keep thy servant back from presumptuous sin, that sin that I keep doing anyway just because I like it.
Right.
Let them not have dominion over me. This is dialogue with God. Help me, God, to get clean in these areas that I'm stumbling in. I might not be stumbling. I might be running into it because I like it. But how am I going to get off of it? I know it's wrong when I look at your law. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent of the great transgression. See that? Now this is when people give no regard to God at all. That's why it's called transgression. You know what's right and you don't do it. You intentionally don't do it. Like people blaspheming God for purposes that they do. And that's transgression. In other words, you know there is a God, but you have audacity to speak against him. And heap shame and blame on him. And so the psalmist prays, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, see what I say and then the things I ponder deeply in my heart, let them be acceptable in your sight. See that? So that's why it says it's going to be a prayer environment that you and I got to get into personally and privately. Jesus said when you pray, go into your secret closet. That just means have secret dialogue with God.
Amen.
About where you are. He knows where we are. We don't have any secrets from God. You know what? I'm glad y'all don't know what secret stuff might be in my mind. I'm glad you don't know. I see it. Y'all don't feel like that though, because y'all don't have no problems with that. See. But I'm so glad. But the fact is, think about this now. Jesus had none of that at any time.
None of that.
That's hard for me to even imagine.
Amen.
Even though folks said stuff, they tried to trick him. They gave him little trick stuff to see, can we trick you with this? And he already knew what they were thinking. And he gave them an answer that they couldn't handle. You see what I'm saying? And they said, oh, that was profound. Like, oh, we know you are teachers that come from God. We'd like to ask you, is it lawful to render taxes to Caesar? Trying to get him to say, nah, Caesar's wrong, so we can come here and haul you off and crucify you. But he said, hand me a coin. Let me see, who is that on there? Who is that on here? Oh, that's Caesar. Oh, okay, then we'll render unto Caesar the things of the Caesar. And unto God the things of the God. That's wisdom. They said, boy, you answered well. Blew their mind. See what I'm saying? Trying to trick me, but I told you what's up. I am the one who ordained human government. So this is what I want you to understand. We're going to move along here. The word of God is the only means by which disciples, which are true learners of Jesus Christ, can acquire the knowledge of God, which has been given to produce in the believer convictions to become righteous. In reality, as a direct result of having received perfect righteousness as a free gift by faith in the finished work of Christ, who alone has satisfied God for all that trust in him. So we come in under the cover of the perfection of Christ.
Yes.
God said, you trust my son, I cover you under his perfection.
Amen.
That's where you are.
Amen.
You know what, if you're not there, some people can't get there because they don't believe that God will cover me perfectly.
That's it.
And that's because people don't make the gospel plain. The gospel is not about what works I'm doing. The gospel is about work God did.
Right.
He did it through his son, and whoever believes his son receives the blessing.
Amen.
God's not trying to be hard to get or play tricks with us. He said, I offer this to the whole world. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. In other words, I will spare you from hell just because of my son, nothing else. So now, what reason do I have not to get into what the Lord has told me to do? What's the reason? What reason do we have not to get into what he told us to do? None. Because he forgives you entirely of everything. Now, I'm giving you my word to fuel your discipleship. Jesus said, make disciples. I need to learn from him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Learn.
For my yoke is easy. Why? Because I already covered you. You're under the cover of my blood, my death and my resurrection. See, God has accepted you. So what reason do you have not to be fueled with this word to get right and get clean. And all of his work was finished from the foundations of the world. See, so in other words, whatever God has told you in his word is already done.
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
Yes.
It's not going to happen later. It's done.
It's already done.
Yes, it is.
So if you're saved, it's done.
Right.
How do you know? He said, well, Pastor, how do you know? Well, he says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And them whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. So in God's mind, you're already glorified.
Already done.
It's done. It's complete. When Jesus said it is finished, that was stuff God has spoken in eternity. Coming to pass, the last thing is done. But you know what? It was already done. If you can receive that. Because he said he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the resurrection and all of that was already in God's mind. Along with your salvation. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him from the foundation of the world. See, that we should be holy and unblameable before him in love, having predestined us to adoption.
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Wow.
So you got to get your mind thinking like his mind.
That's right.
And get in his word. The law of the Lord is perfect.
That's right.
He accepts you. He knows your problems. He knows the solution to your problems.
Oh, yeah.
And he called you in him so you can get it together. That's a good way to look at it, simply put.
Yeah.
And so, notice this now. The psalmist King David gives facts about the transforming power of God's eternal word, and that it contains all the power required for each believer to be transformed from defeat to victory in every area of his life, which has only ever been perfectly performed by God's Son. He's the only one who ever perfectly performed God's word.
That's right.
And Jesus, the Messiah, who now calls us each a disciple to come under the perfect covering and be taught to love like he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
You come under a perfect covering.
Yes.
When you're saved.
Yes.
You have no excuse not to get better.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
None.
No. Yes.
You have no excuse not to get better.
No.
You know what? I'm not a judge, so I have no reason to. I'm not going to judge Brother G or anybody, Brother Dr. Adams, whoever I name. Can't judge you. Why? Because I got enough stuff here I need to deal with. And I'm just going to try to support you with whatever I can do to support you. And so now looking at Paul, he understood this, and he is the greatest example of anybody you might ever want to find. When you look at how he hated the church, Paul hated the church. He said, I don't only just hate it, I'm going to bust it up. I'm going to get legal papers, go down and destroy that thing, because this is out of control. A bunch of Gentiles talking about they're going to be saved by some Messiah. Are you kidding me? You know, by that one we crucified and spit on and all that. And he was upset. But when we see how he got turned around, the conversion of Saul is an awesome thing.
Yes.
But he knew that he was now this one who hated Gentiles is now praying for the Gentiles to be saved. And he's going out into their territory. No matter how it was, he was on his way to carry the gospel, because now his whole life was turned around. 180. And so he says, looking at what he says here, he knows, as I told you, it's going to be an item of prayer. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See that? And I don't have time to tell you everything came to my mind with this. A lot of the family of God is already in heaven with him.
Yes.
I think about all the folks in my own life. I remember the first funeral I went to. I was reminded yesterday when I saw the little kids and some older people that were there. And I said, you know what? I moved from the position of these little kids to I'm the elder now. See? And I could see that 3 or 4 generations of people in one room. See? And I thought about the people who were here when I was a little kid, when they died, and I didn't understand it at all. And so, for lack of a better thing, let me say these are the ex-people. They were here and they're not here now. And now I'm on the other end looking down at the next people. See, two sets of people, the X people and the next people. And I'm up here on the top of this set now. And things have flipped around. And now you're in the position where you're closer to the X people, and the next people are coming along. See, and that's been the cycle ever since the foundation of the world. You see what I mean? But it's amazing when we think about it. So some things we are only going to accomplish through prayer, and we have to pray. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, see that? There's some ex-people there, and some present people there, and then there are the next people who are here. That he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That came along with the perfect covering is God's Holy Spirit in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you see that? That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehension. You got to understand this. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? That means all the dimensions of the salvation. And to know the love of Christ, you see that? Which passes knowledge. This is not about knowledge, it's about love and concern. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See that? I want to be full with the fullness of God. I don't know what that does to you when you hear it. I want to be filled with the fullness of God.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll be the best thing. And it passes knowledge, the love of Christ, he says here. And then he says, now to him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, to unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See that? So you and I, that's where we got to get, and we'll do it only by prayer. It's going to take a lot of prayer. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest examples of one who made the transition from hating the church to loving the church like Jesus does, realize that this love can only be attained through much sincere prayer and understanding guided by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells each and every disciple who has believed in Jesus for providing complete salvation, and his Holy Spirit to execute God's word of transformation in all by the renewing of your mind. That's what it really is. It's the renewing of our mind in the word. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See that? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? And so that's why the word is essential. Now this was a little, I had to do some of this just to get us started in this service. Because we got to go somewhere. And we got some praying to do. Got some individual searching to do. You know, and when I'm praying, you know what I do? I like to not think so much about me all the time. My prayer, I think about each of you. Because God is working on you and he called you here. So you have a pastor who cares about you. And I want him to work in you whatever he called you here for. He loves you, accepts you just like you are, and he's got work for you to do. I don't know what it is, that's his job. But he does, and he'll let you know. See? And so let's stand right now, if you don't mind. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word. It is so clear, and we can't do without it, Father. We pray you take us deeper into the word and help us to cut off stuff that consumes our time and foolishness that's taking us nowhere. And we pray you give us a sincere, seeking heart to dig deeply into your word, pray for one another, with one another, and about one another, Father, and even those that are lost. But we pray for some good, sound, solid housekeeping right here in St. Timothy. Help each one of us, Father. We know all manner of ministers and servants of the church came out of this church. And so, Father, we want to continue that process. We want another generation, the next people, to be filled with the knowledge of Christ.
Yes.
And so, Father, if anybody's here today and they're not saved, we pray you give them salvation right now. We have told them that you love them just like they are, and that they cannot fail. If they trust in the name of Jesus Christ, you say they shall be saved. And so, Father, bless us with a deeper fellowship with one another, and help us to understand your word so that we can administer the word as we go forth. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the whole church here together.
Amen.
Amen. Give God a praise. Amen. Amen.